Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, everybody. Tim Miller from The Bulwark here. I was on with Katie Turr yesterday. We got into something a little serious, a little heavy for daytime cable TV. And I wanted to expand it a little bit. In the second segment, you can stick around. We cover kind of this unraveling that we're seeing of MAGA and how Trump is losing supporters, you know, from multiple parts of the coalition and how there's some bad signs for him. And I covered a lot of that ground with Alyssa Farah as well, if you missed that. But we talked a little bit in the first segment about Epstein. And some of my co-panelists, Susan Glasser and Anand, were getting into sort of argument about what Epstein says about the elites and whether the power elite, as Anand said, was a signal that the power elite, were all corrupted. You know, the Epstein case is the best example of this notion that all of the regular folks out there are really united against the elite. And there's a bipartisan elite that are trying to divide us. And you know, I think that is a story that feels good to say because there's a lot of good reason to be upset with our elite. And I think that it feels good to try to think that maybe the solution to our problems is the whole country can kind of unite with only these like bad guys at the top as the foes. The reality, when I tried to get into it, what I have seen from both the Epstein case and the Trump era broadly is not so much that there is this bipartisan corrupted elite. Like there is, right? Like, but they're corrupted in different ways, right? And I think the manner in which the right is corrupted by Trump is very unique and separate from the types of stuff we're seeing with like Bill Clinton and Larry Summers hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. What I see when I look at the Bill Clinton and Larry Summers and Bill Gates and Woody Allen and Noam Chomsky and Steve Bannon and Trump all hanging out with Epstein, what I see is a broad cultural issue that we have where people in this country are reticent to draw moral lines anymore, particularly if them or their side stand to benefit. Let me give you some examples. How did Epstein get in with these guys? He offered them money. He offered them access. He offered them opportunity. I see that a lot in my everyday life, like people who are not in the power elite making small concessions of their integrity because they want to get free stuff, because they want to get opportunity. And I get it. I understand that. We all understand that. I succumb to that. I wrote a whole book about this, which you can go read if you want. You can search for it, Why We Did It. So I understand this impulse. And maybe because I succumb to it, I'm attuned to it in a particular way. And I see it in a lesser way that like people are defensive of those who are on their political side when they make these moral sacrifices. You know, I when I talk about Clinton, sometimes on here around Epstein, I get response from people. I get emails like, well, Clinton didn't do anything like Trump. Or, and obviously you see this with Trump. I mean, like this is just writ large. Everyone who's gone along with Trump has basically made a moral sacrifice of themselves. And said that they're going to be Machiavellian at some level, and that because Donald Trump gives them something they want or punishes somebody they hate, they're willing to go along with it. And so what I see in this Epstein case is like the elite succumbing to the same failing that so many of us have succumbed to, which is that we are unwilling to be the person that says no. We're unwilling to be the person that says, no, this is too far. I am not going to go along with this. It's hard to be that person. It's hard to be the scold. It's hard to be the one that's like, this actually goes against our moral value set. And so even though it's going to bring me money or opportunity or feel good, I'm going to say no anyway. It's hard to be the one that says in a group of people, or a group of people says, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. And this is like, this is a childhood morality story, right? Like, it's hard to be the one in the group that says, guys, I don't want to go along with this type of troublemaking. And, you know, the real crimes of Epstein, of course, are the child sex trafficking and the gruesome treatment of these young women. Okay. And that is like obviously front and center. But this secondary crime or fault that you see with people hanging around him who maybe weren't doing that. I mean, I think some of those men that I mentioned were also doing child sex crimes and they should be held to account. But like there were others that like were hanging out with him for the money and the celebrity. And that is like, that is something that we all need to stare at and call out as something that we all as a culture need to push back against, resist. This notion that it is okay to go along with evil if it advantages you or your political tribe or your group. And that's something that's going to be very hard to overcome, I think. And I think it's something that is deeply rooted in American society. I mean, I love America, but we have unique opportunities and unique goodness in America. We also have some unique faults. And I think this is one of them. And I think the Epstein story shines like a really bright light on it. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out to be like, this is just an example of the elites going along with this. I think that we see a lot of people in our country. I mean, like I just said, basically everybody voting for Donald Trump, but not just them. We see a lot of people going along with evil doing. We see a lot of people going along with things that they know are bad. It's maybe a better way to say it. Because they rationalize it, because they justify it. And that is a flaw in all of us, not just the power elite. And if we're going to fix things as a country, we need to recognize that this is a rot that is deeper than the top, and that we're all going to have to, you know, try to find people to unite with, potentially, you know, across religion, across race, across sex, across party identification, who want to resist it and who want to say, no, we can aspire for better. So anyway, sorry to get heavy on a weekend. I got really heavy on for daytime cable. But, you know, it's just a spark that I thought. As you can tell, I'm kind of wrestling with it myself. So we'll obviously take feedback from people. It is something that is complicated, you know, and it's something that we all struggle with, I think, at some level. And so, you know, I'm still processing and developing my feelings on it, but I think it's important to kind of have that conversation, the hard conversation, while we have a more easy conversation, which is condemning these fucking pricks that did horrific things to young girls and hopefully finally getting an account for them. That's not that easy. Obviously, it's taken this long, but it is something that there's much more broad recognition of. So anyway, stick around. Me, Katie Turr, the rest of the crew, having that conversation.
We did get new images from Epstein's estate. Democrats say they have 95,000 new photos, and they released a handful of them today, including some disturbing ones, which the ranking Dem on House Oversight says are not even the worst of it. It's not clear if those other images are going to get released, but so far what we have received are more shots of very, very powerful people that Epstein called friends, including images of former President Bill Clinton, Steve Bannon, Woody Allen, Bill Gates, and President Donald Trump. We don't know the full context of these videos or when they were taken. Some of them had been previously released publicly. We also don't know who the women in some of these photos are, or if they were victims or survivors of Epstein. What we do know is what these images only serve to underscore, again, that Epstein was preying on vulnerable young and underage women and girls while he was enjoying a social circle of the most well-connected, rich, and influential people in the world. It's just a wide array of powerful people from a wide array of corners.
Yeah, it's depressing. No doubt about that, Katie. And the thing that strikes me that makes me think about that is a little bit different from the institutional question, which is a real one, is what it says about our culture right now, and particularly in the second Donald Trump term, that people, you know, the revealed preference of people in this country going back, I mean, at least to COVID and now with these Epstein stuff going back further, is that people don't like have to hold themselves to moral professional standards. People don't like scolds, you know, and maybe we all have that a little bit in us. Like, nobody wants to be the person that's like, oh, I can't do this, go along with this thing because this person is, you know, this other person is so bad. I'm going to wag my finger. And obviously the Jeffrey Epstein case is like such an extreme example of this. And he was one of the most horrid people, you know, in the world, with the scale of his child sex trafficking. But I see something that you see like across the board in Trump world. There's like, there was nobody on those emails that's like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be taking money from Jeffrey Epstein to our university, or, you know, maybe we shouldn't be going on these, you know, junkets funded by Jeffrey Epstein, or maybe I shouldn't let this guy connect me with another person that might advance my political career. And you just don't see it anywhere in the emails. Everybody just goes along with it. And I think that, you know, I feel that way a little bit about Trump. You know, there just weren't a lot of people that were willing to say, no, this goes too far. And I think that there's something kind of inherent to our culture that has yielded that.
Which is some deeper questions,
you know.
What's so interesting about an interview I did a moment ago with Mike Bohacek out of Indiana, one of the state senators who voted no, yeah, and said he was voting no because he was done with Donald Trump's meanness, using the R word. He just found it just a bridge too far. He had had enough. And the reason why I thought he was such an interesting person to talk to is you just so rarely hear that, somebody who's not going to go along with what's going and with what's happening in a political party, you know, especially with the Republican Party. I was listening to a great podcast today. Tim Miller was the host of the podcast. He was talking to David French. Second only to the podcast I heard between Tim and Susan last week. But Tim was talking to David French, and it was on a topic that I think dovetails so nicely into this conversation, which is the weird and uncomfortable coalition at the heart of Trump's support, and how it is not one that is stable and potentially won't be one that lasts when Donald Trump is gone. He mentions Tennessee 7 and the fact that Afton Bain came so close to not losing terribly. I mean, she only lost by 9 points instead of 22 points, which Donald Trump won that district by. But I would also, Tim, bring in what happened in Indiana. And this is an example of the more traditional Republicans saying no to a desire of Donald Trump's to redistrict. And then the newer base of Republicans going after those traditional Republicans, threatening them, sometimes physically bullying them. And it completely backfired.
Yeah. I just think there are a couple of points that show how he's in a different political moment now from the past couple of weeks. That you mentioned that with Indiana. As you mentioned, this comes from the more traditional establishment wing of the party, or I wouldn't say establishment anymore. I guess MAGA is the establishment, the pre-MAGA establishment of the party. And these Indiana Republicans, maybe with some support from Mike Pence behind the scenes, rebuffed him. It is the first time since Brad Raffensperger and Brian Kemp in Georgia, when Trump was trying to steal the 2020 election, when they said no, they weren't going to go along with that. That's the only other time I can think of, you know, in the past 5 years where more traditional pre-Trump Republicans said no to him and came out victorious and won. And I think that is meaningful about how he's sort of losing ground in his political standing. On the other side of the coalition, that clip that you played in the intro, Ivan Raiklin, for people who don't know him, the MAGA Marauder, he called himself. He was like one of Trump's biggest cheerleaders, this guy that had the enemies list. He was collecting the enemies list. There's a big Washington Post profile on that about who they were going to go after once Trump got in charge. What it says to me is if people like Raiklin, if people, you know, like others in the MAGA media feel like they can now criticize Trump without losing their audience,
that says to me something about the audience, right? Like these folks are not dumb, you know? And so they know that Trump is not only that Trump is losing ground with that core base of support. Now, are they ready to be Democrats? No, Democrats have a ton of work to do to reach any of these people. But like, it is meaningful that MAGA media now is feeling comfortable criticizing him to that,
that extent. That is such a good point.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No